listening to Adoption, Fostering and Tea from the UK's LGBTQ+ adoption and fostering charity New Family Social. Find us at newfamilysocial.org.uk. I'm Tor, and this week I'm going to be having another cup of tea with Adam and Aaron, who've been on the podcast before. Welcome back, both of you.
Hi.
So we've been along for your journey quite a little bit, and we'll put links in the episode notes for your previous visits, but we talked to you when you were at the assessment stage, and we talked to you when you began family finding, and we were very hopeful that you might be getting quite near. I wonder if one of you could update us on the kind of bumpy journey that you've had since then.
Yeah, so I mean, ideally we would have liked to have come back to tell you that we've now adopted a child and we're having loads of drama with that. But sadly, we're here to sort of share the rather challenging and demotivating experience we've had since we last spoke to you. So we had been, we were being considered for a child. There were some other couples being considered as well. They basically narrowed it down to just us. We'd spoken to the other team several times on Zoom, and they decided they wanted to come and meet us. They came and met us, and then we got feedback which basically seemed like they were picking on tiny little things which didn't feel like they were valid comments, if I'm honest. I mean, things like our house didn't seem to be a child-friendly house, which we haven't got children, so I don't think that's too surprising. Not that it's some sort of danger hazard, because we've got nephews and nieces who play and have fun. And I think we just started feeling like we just weren't good enough, and started, I mean, we talked about it for ages, talking about questioning, you know, maybe there was more to it, other reasons why they didn't choose us or want to go further. And I mean, there was literally a point where Adam was starting to question if he even wanted to continue. I mean, it was just so heartbreaking. You know, we put so much into this and we're so excited about adopting. And, you know, it actually feels like it could be just a dream.
I can understand why you've sort of got to that point. How long have you been at the family finding stage now?
So it's actually just over a year, literally like within about a month or over.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it? Because your life's sort of on hold for the duration of that. Adam, can you say a bit about that feeling that you had about, you know, maybe not wanting to continue?
Yeah, I mean, I think from my point of view, when you get singled out as the person that they find a bit quieter in the couple, and I am not a quiet person, so I was a little bit shocked by that. you know, Aaron can talk for, you know, the whole of society. So it is going to be one of those occasions where I will let, you know, somebody else do the talking. I did feel on, you know, the social worker meeting that I'd said quite a lot. You know, I felt like I'd said quite a lot. So it was a little bit of a surprise. And I think when you come into those moments, that is when you start to question yourself. You know, what am I doing wrong? You know, am I going to be, you know, if people aren't seeing it in you, are you going to be a good father to a child? And that's really how I was feeling and how I was made to feel. There doesn't seem to be any support around that either. You're just left in this hole. And actually, it was quite a bad experience as well. I don't think we didn't even know we'd been turned down initially. It was sort of like something happened and we had to check. That was very disappointing as well.
Do you mean that you weren't told specifically that you'd been, quotes, rejected, if you like, or not chosen? You weren't told that?
It kind of, some time had passed, and then we kind of had to start asking what was happening, because it felt like they were ready to go. They were talking about the timeline of meeting the child and, you know, when we'd bring him home and etc., etc. So it was all like, it, you know, we would have had him before Christmas basically, so we were like weeks away from bringing him home, and then it just went very quiet.
I'm not sure if it was, sorry to interrupt there, but I'm not sure if this is something we're allowed to say, but basically I think on Linkmaker, the conversation had moved out of pending or current, I can't remember what it is, into past conversations. Yeah, yeah. And that's sort of how we found out.
Yeah, they'd kind of ended it on Linkmaker before we'd actually been told. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's really hard just to see it that way. What did you do when you saw that?
Well, then I reached out to us. Well, I was confused about, you know, I thought maybe I'd clicked on the wrong thing or done something wrong. So reached out to our social worker, who then said, oh, that's strange. Let me ask what's happening. And then the feedback came back. But as Adam was saying, I think that, you know, everyone doubts themselves on some level as to whether they're going to be a good enough parent. But then to have some very, whether you call them wishy-washy, I don't know, but feedback which just didn't seem like it was really valid, just didn't make sense. And, you know, it, as I said, it just made us question ourselves so much. It was just horrible.
And you really do only have each other to pick yourselves up as well, you know, so you've only got that other person's opinion. I mean, yes, you can talk to other people as well, but you're the two people who are going to be adopting a child, so you need to bolster each other.
And actually, sorry, jump in again. I mean, I remember when we went to panel and, you know, I think I might have mentioned that, you know, I'm the chatterbox in with the two of us. And they specifically sort of said, you know, Aaron, please don't answer this question. Adam, can you answer this? So, you know, in that way, I don't see why they couldn't have focused on Adam if they wanted to. I mean, and as he said, it wasn't that he didn't say anything. It's just that I do tend to respond more and have more to say. It just didn't feel right. It didn't, something, I'm sure that there's got to be more to that. And we just don't know.
I know what you mean. I think sometimes, though, there's actually less to that. You know, it's almost like they're faced with, say, three sets of potential parents, any of whom would be good enough, and they have to say something. And I think sometimes they might be better simply saying there were three and you weren't the first one, you know, rather than trying to give a reason. Because like you say, it eats away a bit at how you feel about yourself. And it's okay to be a parent who's a bit quiet. That is completely fine. And actually, some kids really need that. Somebody who isn't all about the words and is just about sort of calm and quietness. That might be really, really beneficial for a child. So again, to knock your sense of self around it is just really horrible.
Yeah. And I mean, sorry, first of all, we were the only couple left.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They had already got rid of all the other couples based on what they saw on Zoom. And actually, to your point, you know, in our part, it does say, we talk about the fact that I'm the louder, you know, one, and Adam's the quieter one. But how that is our strength, our difference is our strength. And the whole process helped us to recognize that. And we really value that, because if we were both the same, we'd be bringing the same thing to the table. And we'd be offering our child the same thing, but we actually we'll play off each other, which will be great.
So after you found that out, you said you had to lean on each other for support for that. What did you do, and how quickly did you throw your hat back into the ring?
Do you want to go for that one, Adam? Because I feel like it's whether you want to be honest.
You can be as honest as you want, and you can skip bits if you'd rather.
I think that's it's actually a very difficult one to answer, because I think on top of that, a lot of other bits and pieces have been going on. So it was actually quite difficult to sort of throw ourselves back into the ring, as you put it, and put ourselves out there again. You know, you need to be emotionally prepared for those knockbacks. And I think it did end up being about, I think, 4 months, I think, before we were like, you know, let's really start pushing this again, sort of engage with conversations. You know, it wasn't an easy process, but you know, you just sit down, you talk about it, and you just go through the pros and cons. And, you know, Aaron, as always, was brilliant at saying, no, you'll be brilliant. There was nothing wrong. You know, you can't take it that way. and that's what you need in your life.
I understand what you mean. It's one of the saddest bits that I see in this job is people who seem like they would be amazing parents and who've been approved reach the end of their tether with the waiting, or reach the end of their tether before their child arrives. And not seen it loads and loads of times, but I've seen it enough. And I always want to like grab them by the ankles and hold on to them and say, don't quit. But people have to be allowed to quit if it's too much. And it happened that there was a couple in New Family Social last year who had just reached the end of their tether. They just couldn't keep doing the same process and facing rejection over and over and over. And it was in my head for quite a little while that they were leaving the process. And I understand why. I can absolutely understand and support their decision. And then there comes a point where you have to put your own mental health and family unit that you already have first and so on. But it was in my head a lot that they were leaving the process and they wouldn't find their child and their child wouldn't find them. You know, it will be a different match now. And just, it seemed immensely sad. So I can absolutely understand how people can get to there.
It really is. And I'll tell you the kind of things that have been going through my head, because it's still there in the background at the moment. And I just sort of keep thinking, well, some of our friends have sort of said, oh, well, you know, you can go continue going on all your expensive holidays and everything. And I just sort of sit here thinking, how empty is that? It's like my head is already in that family mode. And I don't know, it just doesn't feel right if we don't have a child. But we you know, it's that emotional element of investing so much into it to only find that someone, and it's not even about not being good enough, but it's I don't even know how to describe it, because we're not really sure. And that's a difficult thing. I mean, our friends, our network have actually been the people who've really sort of lifted us back up. Sadly, our agency hasn't done that. And I think that as well, and Adam, you might want to comment on this afterwards, you know, it just feels like a process. It's as if, you know, yes, they have talked about the emotional connection we've had, but we still just feel like, you know, another two names on a document somewhere, as opposed to real people wanting to do something that's scary to help a child, because, you know, we genuinely feel like that's something we could do really well.
And I do also think that you're talking about the process with the agency. It quite rightly is geared up towards protecting the child and the child you're going to adopt. But in the same way, it tries to force you very quickly down a route towards one child. And, you know, that child has to be right for you. You know that child has to be right for you. And then you look at a child and go, oh, that could be good. I want to follow that up. But you might see another one at the same time and you want to follow that up. That all of a sudden is not allowed. And in doing so, that can damage your approach to the first child.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because we've been approached on Linkmaker, I think maybe 3 or 4 times now. And that's when that sort of thing has occurred, or when our agency has sort of shared their list of children they have, and we've seen a child and thought, oh, do you know what? That child could actually be a better match. And, you know, we would be a better match for that child and vice versa, which to my understanding is what it's all about. But the moment we ask that question, it seems like we're doing something wrong. You know, oh, but you're already looking at that child A, you know, you can't now ask a question about child B. And it's, I mean, I've said, you know, we're only asking the question. We don't even have any information yet or any detailed information. You know, we might discover something that means that child isn't a good match, but it's as if we're not even allowed to ask. It's like, no, you've committed yourself now. You know, you've got to go with it, which just feels strange, if I'm honest. I mean, one of the children was a child that we thought would match us really well because of my cultural background, because Adam is white, I am not. And you know, it was one of the first times when we saw her at an activity event, and I suddenly thought, oh my God, she could look like she is my daughter or Adam's daughter. And not that that is a must, but it kind of suddenly thought, I thought suddenly thought that's really nice. And then when we found out about her cultural heritage, it was a really close match to mine. And you know, my family upbringing and my heritage is a huge part of our life. In fact, Adam's now sort of completely enveloped in all of that. So, you know, we would have ticked that box massively. And I mean, genuinely, I got so excited. And then we were told that we weren't a good enough, or there was another couple who were a better match from a religious and cultural heritage perspective. You know, without saying what it is, we did suspect that maybe there was something else linked to that as well. But yeah, you know, that was quite sad. And I think, you know, we've been sort of thinking about the whole sort of transracial adoption space. And you know, I think it's really important to understand that transracial adoption isn't just about a white person adopting a black or non-white child. You know, a lot of the children that we've looked at have been white. So with me not being white, you know, that's also transracial adoption. So, you know, it's about me understanding that side of things. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely that. There are lots of ways that each of us could end up raising a child from a different cultural or heritage background from our own. You're absolutely right. But again, it must have really hurt to be such a close match and then still be a no, still not be near enough.
And now there is another child on the cards, and we this is when we had that scenario where we'd asked about this girl that we'd seen, and it was like, oh, you can't ask about her because we're already talking about, you know, this other child. So now we feel like we've damaged our chances with the child that we were sort of starting to progress with. It's just, oh, it's all very confusing. And I mean, it feels like someone's dangling a carrot in front of us, but not letting us grasp it. And I don't, if we aren't successful and we don't get clarity around why we're not successful, we're probably sadly just going to end up walking away. Because it just feels we're never going to get there, and we don't know why or what we can do to improve that. And we're not the youngest couple on the planet either, so age isn't on our side. And we just sort of keep thinking, well, you know, the more that time goes on, the older we're getting as well. So yeah,
So is
sad.
that where your head's at the moment? Are you starting to toy with the idea that you might not continue?
No, we've got this other child that we were we are we the only couple they're considering yet? No, I think
Definitely
we're
they
the only
were, yeah.
we were yeah okay I think yeah I don't think there was a case of narrowing it down. I think they had just sort of said we would be a good match for him, so we think we're still being considered for him. We're waiting for a confirmation on that. And then we'll go from there. Because actually, yeah, so we'd say we met him at an event. Sorry, gosh, it's all coming back. So we've met him already. I mean, not in the way of these, you know, these might be the people adopting you. And you know, we thought he was absolutely lovely. And as I said, you know, it was at the same time that we saw this girl that we weren't expecting to see. So yeah, hopefully they want to continue with us, and we will see where it goes.
It's so hard, isn't it, when you're in a position of waiting for information, because any day you could get the information, but you might not. And so that thing of staring at the phone, refreshing emails and things, it's quite a miserable time, I think.
It is, and there's so much time pressure on the whole thing as well, you know, just like you want it to happen by this time, and you know, you start planning around that, you put your life on hold, you know, which we're all willing to do because, you know, we want to adopt children, but it just seems to drag out. And it's like you're either, as I said earlier, being forced down this route very, very quickly, but it doesn't give you time to really look at your emotions and your connections to a child and how you feel that you're going to connect with a child. That doesn't seem to be there at all.
Yeah, I can, you know, I can remember that, and we weren't family finding for an immensely long time, but several months, you know, it wasn't an immediate, it wasn't one of those stories where you walk out of panel and they hand you a profile. It wasn't like that. Yeah. And I do remember that feeling of just being stuck a bit, really, spinning your wheels in the mud, because you can't go anywhere. It's all very well saying you could go on a posh holiday, but well, you can't, because you might have a child any moment. You know, it could, when it happens fast. So what are you sort of supposed to do? It's hard to plan for next month or in 2 months' time. So you just kind of said, you have my absolute sympathy. It's a really, really difficult time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that part of it. I mean, you know, it's not ideal, but it's, you know, it's almost like, we're pregnant, but we're waiting for the baby to arrive.
Yeah.
I have a friend who, what was it, about 3 or 4 times in the last couple of months, he's messaged me to say, oh, we're going to go on holiday to here, or we're thinking about going there. Will you come with us? And it's like, you remember the message I sent you last time saying no, we might be adopting, you know, if we're lucky, so we can't plan anything. It's the same message still.
Yes.
So, yeah.
No, I understand. So you're in the process with this child, potentially.
Yep.
But no idea of when you're going to hear back from anybody about.
And sadly, again, that same question, or the points that were raised by the other agency when we were being almost ready to proceed with the other child, were raised again with regards to this child that we're considering, which, I don't know, I found rather strange. It was almost like it was an issue that, you know, they did feel that Adam was too quiet. Yeah, it's made us concerned again. And we are a bit, we just don't know what's going to happen, actually. My fear is that we're going to have some mystery reason why we're not good enough again.
I think it's really interesting. I think, you know, to a certain degree, it's just like you're told at one stage, you know, don't just make things up to make people happy, you know, just be yourself and talk in the way that you would normally talk, and so that they know exactly who you are. And now we feel like we're in a situation where you've got to play a game, and, you know, do we need to make our house into a soft play centre before somebody comes round? You know, what else do we need to do? You know, am I going to be forcibly talking over Aaron because I need to be, you know, more lively and, you know, say a bit more? So, you know, it's almost like being fake, and, you know, we are who we are, and we want to present ourselves as who we are. And again, it's like you're not allowed to do that.
That's so difficult, isn't it? Have you addressed with the latest social worker that feedback, you know, about being quieter and louder and so on? Did you raise that in the meeting?
Yeah, we did. Oh, sorry, the child social worker.
The child social worker that you've met this time. No. You know, did you feel able to sort of say, we're aware that sometimes we come across like this?
We were going to wait till we meet them, they come here to see us face to face.
So they've not been to you yet.
Yeah, but we were planning to raise it.
I wonder if it's worth sort of saying that, you know, essentially we had this feedback previously, we want to address it like this. And also, we are aware that we'll make changes to the house, but at the moment, without knowing what age of child, for example, you don't know whether you're talking about baby gates or cots or, you know, things suitable for a 4 or 5 year old or a 6 or 7 year old. You just can't really prep that, can you, until you know?
Well, interestingly, we do actually have a room with a kid's wardrobe, bed and stuff all set up, because my niece was getting rid of some stuff and we said, well, we we might need it. So it's all set up. The room's set up as a child's room. I think the key thing is no one prepared us for this. Mm. Like whatever it is that's happening, if this is normal, no one prepared us for it. And, you know, maybe we need to toughen up a bit. I don't know. But, you know, it's just dragging us down. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that in both of you. Just as you're talking, you know, you both look very sort of flat about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got quite emotional about it at times. If I'm honest. I could probably cry now if I wasn't holding it back. It's just sad. It's sad. You know, it's a big step to adopt a child. You know, it's life changing. You know, but you know, we know that we're doing something that's going to be really good and rewarding and challenging. And we know that we don't know all the answers. You know, I would be lying if I said, yes, I've read every book and I know it all and I'm going to be perfect. I think I would be more worried if someone said that because they're kidding themselves, you know. But we think we've got lots of positive things to offer to a child, and we will continue learning as we go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even making that sort of confession, I think we're not allowed to say that. We're supposed to put on this, yes, I know everything. I'm confused.
I don't think it comes across like that at all. I think it comes across that you're as ready as anyone ever is to parent, and your parents without a child at the moment, and that's really, really hard.
Yeah. If anything, you know, because you go through all the training, you're more prepared than anyone else is to start life of a child. And that's how you go into the process. And, you know, that's quite exciting. You think, yes, I'm very prepared. And I don't know how and whether that's an individual experience for us, but we do feel like that's been knocked out of us a little bit.
And we got so much good feedback all the way through our sort of training and everything. All the way, it was like you said, asked some really great questions, you made some really great observations, etc., etc., etc. I mean, we were so on a real high, to be honest. You know, we still freaked out when we went to panel, where we actually going to make it. But you know, it was all really positive, and we learned so much about ourselves, which, you know, that's the social worker that we had at the time. You know, she kept telling us, you know, that is part of the process, you know, learning about yourselves, which we did. But I don't know, I just don't feel like we quite understand what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's a really hard time, and there is no massively useful advice. You're doing everything right. You're doing all of the right steps. You're going to different places, so Link Maker as well as activity days and so on. You know, it sounds like you're putting yourselves across well. It sounds like you're addressing the feedback that you've been given. And so it isn't a case that you're doing anything wrong. It's a case that it's really, really hard. And, you know, you likened it to pregnancy. I guess it is like that. Some people get pregnant the first time they try, and other people go through years of fertility treatment and make it, and others don't. You know, others have to eventually stop. But I suppose only you can decide if you've got another round in you if this one goes wrong.
Yeah. I mean, there is another element that has been slightly negative in the fact that it feels like our agency isn't ultra keen when you want to try to adopt a child that's outside of their area. So it also becomes complicated. They do things in a different way, and it's almost like their back goes up a little bit if that's the route that you're taking. They'd much rather place you with a child that's from within their area.
Yeah, I mean, but certainly by the time that Jackie and I adopted, our relationship with our social worker wasn't great, and our relationship with our social worker's manager was dire, to the point, I can tell this now because they've shut down, so it's all right. But but the manager got so cross with me on the phone once. She properly shouted, and I really don't think I deserved it. I don't think I'd been doing anything that would warrant that sort of response at all. And she shouted at me properly, and I came off the phone really shocked, and then obviously bawled my eyes out, you know, because the second anyone gets cross in that way, it's just like the only response in my head is to cry loads. So I did that. And I was busy thinking about what to do when an unsolicited apology arrived. So I knew she knew that she'd been way across the line, but it was that bad at that stage. And we kind of grudgingly accepted the apology, because what else do you do? It's like, we still need you.
It was
really difficult when we didn't think they'd got our back, because we were just worried that someone would ring up and say, well, what are Tor and Jackie like? And they'd basically say they're a pair of dickheads, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I was worried about. And obviously in the end, we did get our child and stuff, but that whole period was really hard. And that's like second-guessing yourself all the time. Are we coming across right? Are we saying the right thing? Should we say it differently? Should we perform this differently? All I can sort of do is empathise and say it's really, really hard. And I kind of had to believe that our child was out there. I had to believe that if we kept going long enough, we'd find them. But I do understand that some people need to say enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I want to say is anyone that's listening to this, I mean, we wanted to share our experience to help prepare people for things that might happen. But I really hope that we're not putting anyone off, because, you know, I do think it's an amazing thing to adopt. But you know, it's clearly not the most straightforward process. So, you know, what we've shared, we hope is going to help make people stronger, more resilient, more prepared for what's coming.
Yeah, it's a realization of what you've got to go through, and you know, it's not easy, and it will knock your confidence a little bit. But you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, you just got to stay positive about it. And as you say, you know, your child's going to be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really nice piece of advice, and I agree that actually giving people the truth about how it might be is really important, because it might be smooth for some of us and it might be not smooth for others of us. But I think it's really important to put that out there. Well, I really hope that when we next record a podcast together, and given that we seem to do this frequently, you know, you've got to come back. I really hope that it's sharing some good news for you all, and that you have got a child by then. And, you know, so please do come back and you'll be very welcome.
Thanks very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank my guests today, Adam and Aaron. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Visit our website at newfamilysocial.org.uk. Adoption, Fostering and Tea is produced by New Family Social. The presenter was me, Tor Docherty, with music from Matt Docherty. The producer was John Jenkins. We'll be back next time with more guests and more tea.